Hear the promises of God. Jesus said, "My life I give to you. My peace I give to you." Jesus Christ was the embodiment of God's love. And today is a celebration of love, a celebration of life. Your presence here is testimony to the love shared by Arlene Dunmire while she walked this earth. We give thanks now that she is at peace in heaven with the Lord. Would you be in an attitude of prayer?
Following our opening prayer, I would invite you to join with me as we pray the Lord's Prayer together. Let us pray. Dear God, our loving Heavenly Father, we are gathered this morning in this very familiar sanctuary of worship in the Spirit of Jesus Christ to remember, to honor, and to celebrate the fruitful life of your faithful servant, Arlene. Here, she and Joe raised their family for several decades, and now we all come together asking that you bless our serious and funny and most sacred memories as we entrust her body and soul to you and her eternal reward. You, O God, are our refuge and strength, very present help in trouble. Grant us your leading in this hour and enable us to put our trust in you, that the memory of a life well lived, that the confidence of an eternal triumph achieved, may calm our spirits and comfort our hearts. Lift our eyes beyond the shadow of death to see the light of life eternal. So may we find grace and strength for this and every time of need as we lift our voices together in the prayer Jesus taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Now we would invite Jolene Dunmire Knaus to share with us this very beautiful parable.
Good morning. Thank you for all being here today. Mother would be most pleased. On behalf of the Dunmire and Denton family, I want to thank you for being here today to celebrate our very special mother, wife, grandmother, and great-grandmother. I also would like to thank the church for hosting this activity, and I would like to thank the faculty and staff from the H.E. Stuckanoff Department of Nursing for feeding this group of family that you see. We all gathered at the house last night, and we had a wonderful time, and there was plenty of food. That was always my mother's worry, was there would never be enough food, and I assured her there was. And the faculty did a great job in providing that, so I greatly appreciate that. I know she would be honored that you're attending this service to celebrate her amazing life. Mom and Dad would have celebrated their 63rd wedding anniversary tomorrow. Prior to her going into the emergency room on Wednesday, February the 17th, Dawn and Mom and I were visiting, and she asked what we would do with her beautiful clothes. On clarification, she said, "If I were not here," she was quite vain, actually, and of course you all knew that. I asked her what she wanted done. Let's see. She further commented, "You know I want to be cremated," and we told her we knew that, and I asked her what she wanted done with her ashes, and she said, "Wait for Papa Joe." So we'll respect her wishes. Sorry. And then she commented she knew that we'd take care of Papa Joe. In retrospect, we think she knew that she would not survive the surgery.
My nephew Dre commented at his father Bill's memorial service 9 years ago that each of us have our memories. I really had brainwashed myself that this wasn't going to happen. He commented at his father Bill's memorial service 9 years ago that each of us had our memories of his dad to comfort us, as we do of Arlene. And we each need to cherish those memories, because I know she left all of you with some memories that probably shouldn't be shared. I know many of you experienced her wagging crooked finger, because when she couldn't use this hand anymore, she moved to this one. And we all knew when the wagging finger came out that she had something she wanted, and she couldn't get the words out, or something she knew that we weren't supposed to know about her. So the wagging finger was always a very good thing for her. I have a parable I'm going to share with you that I heard at Rachel Propp's memorial service in 2006. And Rachel Propp was a lady that worked at Cass's department store for many, many years. And all three of the Dunmeyer daughters, sisters, worked at Cass's department store. So we all knew Rachel. And her daughter read The Parable of Motherhood by Temple Bailey. And I believe the wise words within it reflect not only our mother, but of all mothers. So please enjoy this parable. A young mother set her foot on the path of life. Is the way long, she asked, and her guide said, yes, and the way is hard, but the end will be better than the beginning. But the young mother was happy, and she would not believe that anything could be better than those years. So she played with her children and gathered flowers for them along the way and bathed them in the clear streams. And the sun shone on them, and life was good. And the young mother cried, nothing will ever be lovelier than this. Then night came, and storm, and path was dark, and the children shook with fear and cold. And the mother drew them close and covered them with her mantle. And the children said, oh, mother, we are not afraid, for you are near, and no harm can come. And the mother said, this is better than the brightness of day, for I have taught my children courage. And the morning came, and there was a hill ahead, and the children climbed and grew weary. And the mother was weary, but at all times, she said to her children, we could not, a little patience, and we are there. So the children climb, and they reach the top, and they said, we could not have done it without you, mother. And the mother, when she lay down that night, looked up at the stars and said, this is a better day than the last, for my children have learned fortitude in the face of hardness. Yesterday I gave them courage, and today I have given them strength. And with the next day came strange clouds which darkened the earth, clouds of war and hate and evil. And the children groped and stumbled, and the mother said, look up, lift your eyes to the light. And the children looked and saw above the clouds an everlasting glory. And it guided them and brought them beyond the darkness. And that night the mother said, this is the best day of all, for I have shown my children God. And the days went on, and the weeks, and the months, and the years. And the mother grew old, and she was little and bent. And her children were tall and strong and walked with courage. And when the way was rough, they lifted her up, for she was as light as a feather. Mother was not light as a feather. We all would like to think we were. And at last they came to a hill, and beyond the hill they could see a shining road and golden gates flung wide. And the mother said, I have reached the end of my journey, and now I know that the end is better than the beginning, for my children can walk alone, and their children after them. And the children said, you will always walk with us, mother, even when you have gone through the gates. And they stood and watched her as she went on alone, and the gates closed after her. And they said, we cannot see her, but she is with us still. A mother like ours is more than a memory. She is a living presence. Thank you for joining us today in the celebration of our special mother.
Thank you, Jolene. I'm glad you read that. I can never make it through it. But it's beautiful. A scripture that is most beautiful and known by us all is, if you would turn in your hymnal to the back to page 734, and we'll read in a responsive way the beautiful Psalm of David, Psalm 23. Let's do it this way. I would like this side of the sanctuary to read, beginning with me, with the east side responding. Let's read. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul.
He leads me in right paths for his name's sake.
Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies.
You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
And I shall dwell in the
joy we share as we take.
This passage of scripture was chosen by the family to share with you today. The 13th chapter of the first letter from Paul to the church at Corinth. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. And the greatest of these is love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Oftentimes at a funeral or memorial service, people feel compelled to say nice things, like, she was patient. She was kind. Today, the nice things that you say are true in a very special way. The Apostle Paul wrote about the nature of love not to provide words to be read at a funeral, as we've heard today, nor to be proclaimed at a wedding, as these often are, including at one of Arlene's daughter's weddings. Rather, the words Paul wrote about the nature of love were originally intended as a how-to manual for the church. Because God so loved the world, God sent his own Son, Jesus, to be an embodiment of love. Because Christ loved us so much, he was willing to die on the cross that we might have eternal life. The church is meant to be Christ's body, Christ's hands and feet here on earth. We are called to love one another, to love the world, even when it isn't easy. We've gathered today to celebrate the life of one of the saints of the church. By that, I mean not a person who was perfect, but one who truly tried to follow Jesus Christ throughout her life. One who tried, in her own way, to embody God's love. Arlene Dunmire tried to live a life of love. She loved her husband, Joe. She loved her family, her church, and shared love through acts of kindness, even with strangers. She loved caring, sharing, and helping. Dorothy Arlene Denton Dunmire was born 85 years ago on December 29th, 1924, in Ipswich, South Dakota. She was the last surviving child of Oscar and Alice Denton. 18 children were born in the family. 9 survived, including Arlene and her twin brother, Walter. During World War II, Arlene served her country by working for Boeing Aircraft in Seattle, like Rosie the Riveter. After the war, she moved to Powell, Wyoming, to live with one of her sisters. It was there that she met a handsome Navy boy who just stole her heart. Actually, when Arlene and Joe met, she was dating a young man named Jack Frost. That's what they told me. When Jack had to leave town, he told his buddy Joe, "Take good care of my girlfriend." And Joe did. All three remained good friends for life. Joe Dunmire and Arlene Denton were married March 28, 1947, in Billings, Montana. A happy day. They shared life and love together as husband and wife for just under 63 years. There are other couples that manage to survive marriage for as long as Joe and Arlene did, but precious few are blessed to savor their marriage and love for so long. The first time I met Arlene, I was visiting at Life Care Center, and Joe was sitting in her room right at her side where he always did. Whether the two were sharing lunch, talking, or slipping in and out of an afternoon nap, you could tell they simply belonged together. They loved one another. Their first years of marriage were spent in Powell, Wyoming, where daughters Jolene and Colleen were born. The young family moved to Casper in 1952 for the lumber business, where Joe would work for over 25 years. It was here in Casper that the family was completed with the birth of daughter Dawn. Arlene loved being a mom, nurturing her daughters, assisting with school activities. She was a good cook, a great baker. Who could count the number of sugar cookies, popcorn balls, and pecan tassies that she made through the years? I'm told her sour cream coffee cakes at Christmas time were legendary. Fortunately, the recipe has been handed on to her daughters and their daughters. Her grandkids can still remember how sweet it was when Grandma let them sneak a taste of the cookie dough. As a fitting tribute, granddaughter Kristen has made Arlene's pecan tassies for you to taste today after the service. Oh, how she loved the grandbabies, the great-grandbabies. Each year at Easter and Christmas, Arlene provided matching outfits for Amber and Kristen, complete with hats and gloves. She was so proud of grandsons Dre and Joe and loved watching all the great-grandkids begin to grow up. Amber remembers how her grandma went to every school or sporting event she could. She would sit at their hockey games, cheering with great enthusiasm, "Make that basket!" She never quite learned the right terminology, but she always had the spirit of a super fan. With great love, she sang hymns and lullabies to her girls, then to their children, and most recently to a third generation of little Dunmire offspring. Arlene's love for helping others extended far beyond the family. Throughout her life here in Casper, she was an active participating member at First Christian Church. She served as co-president of our Christian Women's Fellowship. She was active in CWF circles number 5 and number 3. She and Joe both served on the diaconate. She was on the Social Action Commission, helped with countless fellowship dinners, serving funeral meals. She made altar arrangements for our sanctuary, table decorations for Fellowship Hall, and seasonal floral arrangements for the inner room. She raised her daughters in this church and longed to share with them her love for God and the joy of serving others in Christ's name. She was in worship every Sunday. And even after her health declined, as long as he was able to drive, Joe would load up her wheelchair and they would get to church. She volunteered as a pink lady with the Wyoming Medical Center Auxiliary. She supported Joe during his years of involvement with the Shriners. Together, they portrayed Raggedy Ann and Andy with the Shrine Clowns for countless events around town, bringing joy to children and adults alike. As a volunteer, she loved helping others. As a professional, she loved empowering others. From 1963 to 1989, she worked for the Natrona County School District as a secretary at McKinley, Natrona County High, and then the central office. She was instrumental in forming the Natrona County Association of Educational Office Personnel and served as its treasurer. She also served as president of the Wyoming Association of Educational Office Personnel and played a key role in organizing their scholarship program. She was an excellent organizer and often coordinated the large staff office Christmas parties. She enjoyed entertaining, especially at the family cabin on Casper Mountain. She would have the whole family busy sprucing up the place, probably for days, before she would spread an amazing feast to share with those who came. Her love of giving continued throughout her life. Even in these last years, when she was a resident of the Life Care Center, she took care of others, always expressing concern for her roommate, advocating for anyone not bold enough to speak up for themselves. At one point, she confessed to daughter Jolene that maybe she was being bossy and should stop. And Jolene said, "Well, Mom, if they need help and they're not getting it, someone needs to speak up for them." So she did. She watched over Kathy Badger and other friends from church during their stays down the hall. Arlene received very good care, loving care, from the staff at the Life Care Center. The family was suspicious that perhaps she had become one of their favorites when aides came to see her during her final days of life at hospice. If you ever visited Arlene's room, chances are you'd see her point with that left finger that still worked towards the candy drawer. She'd say to anyone, "Get some candy." She kept on giving right up until the end. She would call Joe or Don and let them know the candy drawer is getting low. "I need you to restock it. Now don't get the same kind. We need a variety." Of course, there are other things we could say about Arlene. And during the reception after the church today, I would invite you to share stories and memories of her life. She was a strong woman. She had a strong personality. She cared deeply for people. Did you know Arlene liked Days of Our Lives and watched it faithfully? She was independent and so thankful for the electric wheelchair and the chairlift van that expanded the years she could go to CWF meetings and school district lunches, thanks to Joe's faithfulness at her side. She liked to tell jokes, but couldn't always remember the punchline. A highlight of visiting the doctor's office was practicing up to tell the latest salty joke she had learned. She was always interested in her grandkids' lives. and enjoyed pestering them for details about their latest romance. She was a lover through and through. For a time, the nursing home staff were concerned that she was saying uncharacteristic things, perhaps unladylike things. But the daughters assured her that actually, this was just another side of Mom. She wasn't senile. Her mind was very clear. She just knew what she liked. I remember visiting Arlene before the holidays, and she was so looking forward to going to Jolene's house for Thanksgiving dinner, for Christmas, to share the time with her family that she loved so much. She couldn't talk about anything else that day. It was clear that she loved her family, and you, in turn, loved and cared for her so faithfully. We rejoice now that for Arlene, there is no longer sickness nor death. All the pain of this world has passed away. And she is with God, where she will hear her master say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Remember, my friends, Arlene Dunmeyer loved you. And love never ends. Amen. I would invite you to take out the chalice hymnal and turn to page number 33. We will sing together, "How Great Thou Art." And if you need to stretch your legs, those who are able are invited to stand as we sing. Let us pray. O God of life and all eternity, how great indeed thou art. O God, your love is vaster than we can name, deeper than the oceans, stronger than the rolling sea. We thank you, God, for your eternal love and care which embraces Arlene. O Lord, you loved her and knew her before she was born on this earth. You, O God, watched her grow up with her twin Walter, with her brothers and sisters. You watched her go out into the world to make her way, to work, to marry, to raise a family. O God, it was your gift of love planted in her heart that blossomed when she met Joe. Lord, we pray now for Joe, for his heart that is missing half, for his soul, whose soulmate has gone home first. Lord, may Joe know your abiding love surrounding him, represented by the love, the arms, the presence of family and friends this day. We know, O God, that you have given us the gift of peace through faith, that we shall again see those we love. We thank you for the days we still have to walk on this earth. We pray for Joe and Arlene's daughters, for their families, for all who miss her. We ask, O God, that your love will abide in each of us, that your peace, which passes understanding, will sustain us. When tears fall, may we acknowledge them as a testimony to love. And when laughter is shared, may it be offered as prayers of praise and joy and thanksgiving for a life well loved, a life well lived. Receive now, O God, into your eternal arms, into your eternal loving care, the spirit, the essence of Arlene Dunmire. Bless us with your peace. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. The family has chosen a musical selection, On the Wings of a Snow-White Dove, to say farewell to Grandma, to Mom, to Arlene. Following this song, there will be a visual presentation of photos of memories from Arlene's life. We invite you to share in them as a type of prayer of thanksgiving for all that she was and all that she is.
When troubles surround us, when evils come, the body grows weak, the spirit grows numb. Things beset us, he doesn't forget us, he sends us his love on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a snow-white dove, he sends his pure sweet love aside from above, on the wings of a dove. When Noah had drifted on the flood many days, he searched for land in various ways. and forgotten. He sent his love on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a snow-white dove. He sends his pure, sweet love, a sign from above, on the wings of a dove. When Jesus went down to the waters today, he was baptized in his son. He sent him his love on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a snow-white dove. He sends his pure, sweet love, a sign from above.
I'll be seeing you in all the old familiar places that this heart of mine embraces all day through. In the small cafe, park across the way, the children's carousel, the chestnut trees, the wishing well, and I'll be seeing you in every lovely summer's day. Everything that's light and gay, I'll always think of you that way. I'll find you in the morning sun, and when the night is new, I'll be looking at the moon, but I'll be seeing you. I will find you in the morning sun, and when the night is new, but I'll be seeing you. I'll be seeing you in all the old familiar places that this heart of mine embraces all day through. In the small cafe, the park across the way, the children's carousel, the chestnut trees, the wishing well, and I'll be seeing you in every lovely summer's day, in everything that's light and gay. I'll always think of you that way. I'll find you in the morning sun, and when the night is new, I'll be looking at the moon, but I'll be seeing you. Find you in the morning sun, and when the night is new, I'll be looking at the moon, but I'll be seeing.
Thanks for sharing your picture album with us. We have affirmed our Christian faith with music and scriptures and prayers and remembrances, and our soon-to-be-celebrated Easter faith sends us forth in faith, hope, and love. Following the benediction, we're all invited downstairs to share with the family some quality time and to enjoy some refreshments. Let us stand now to receive the benediction with words from the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. And now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in you that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.